Trying to get him on, guys. This, of course, is the Alternative Wrestling Radio Show. Kid Zombie's been around for a little bit, for a while, and he is making his return. We're trying to get him hooked up here, guys. Sorry for the inconvenience, but we will get him on as soon as possible. Hello, Matthew. Alrighty, guys. I apologize for that. We're just having some technical difficulties. You know, this does happen sometimes with the first show, and unfortunately, this is happening here. And we're trying to get this going. So we will, in a moment, have him on. I'm trying to get us situated here, guys, and we'll go from there. Let me see if I can get his number. Maybe I can give him a call. We'll go that way. Here we go, guys. Let me see if I can give him a call. And there we go. And this is a very innovative show. Of course, it gives you all the independent wrestling, does some pro wrestling, and we're going to go ahead with that. Let's see, 1 second.
Hello?
Kid Zombie, how you doing?
I'd be okay if my damn magic jack was working.
Well, this is the Big Dog. I'm glad I jumped in at the beginning. I'm glad we got it started. I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to you. I'll keep an eye on the chat room and see if we have any phone calls. But it's all your show, man. Take over.
Thanks, brother. Well, I guess making a first impression again, I've really screwed myself. Screwed the pooch again. But, well, this is the debut episode of Alternative Wrestling Radio. Well, it's kind of weird to say that. I'm actually trying to say Rubber Guard Radio, but that's dead and buried. After 150-plus episodes, I've moved on. I'd like to say I've grown up, but I probably have not. I just don't drink as much. But, you know, that's part of having a pro wrestling podcast, is just having a drinking problem or just being in the business in general. Out there, I'd like to apologize to a brother out there that's going to call in, hopefully back in a few minutes, who'd like to touch base with us that I haven't spoken to in a while. Let's pull up the Facebook thing and let's get him to call back. But like I said, this is the debut episode. I had to get back into this thing. I've been missing it and missing it and missing it and missing it some more, and I'm sure there are people out there that seem to think that I have not been missed. But my wife sure seems to think that it's quieter around the house. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I'm just checking in here from Northern California. You know, those of you that have listened to me in the past, you guys, know where I'm from. I'm from Northern California. Been down with the indie scene since, say, 96 or so. Followed APW and a bunch of other local indies. And you know, gone to big shows here and there. You know, grew up here in the Bay Area. Been a fan since, say, 79. Yeah, so that's pretty much about me. But, you know, enough about me. Let's get our guest on here. I'd like to welcome to the show a man who, you know what, he doesn't need any introduction. It's time to get all your shit in. What's going on, Brian Cage?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
I'm good now. I'm on the air. So that's a good thing.
There you
go. I figured on the debut episode we'll have the West Coast's top indie talent on the air, unless you've gotten booked for the next Evolve tour.
What's that? Have I gotten booked for the next Evolve tour?
Yeah.
You know what? No, I was not. Do you want it? Yeah, I almost did, but it didn't come together.
Okay. Cool. So tell me now. You know, you seem to be the it guy the first half of 2013, and those of us out here on the West Coast have known, you know, of you for many years. Tell me, how does it feel to, you know, get those phone calls and those emails or Facebook posts? Hey, I want to book you. I want to bring you to Mexico. I want to bring you up to Canada. I want to bring you out to, you know, New York. You know, how does that feel for you as a performer?
Oh, it's awesome, man. It's incredible. It's as you said, yeah, it's definitely been a great year so far. Definitely probably the best year of my wrestling career, if you will. And I mean, it's tremendous because as hard as it is to, you know, succeed somewhere else with, like, you know, getting signed with a big company, it's hard also, you know, to get your name out there enough where people, you know, especially in independence where it's not as much money, want to see you so bad that they're willing to, you know, travel you across, you know, the states or across the country or whatever it may be, you know, to bring you out there. Then it's even more crazy to, like, you know, exactly be here the whole time in California, then go to, you know, to New York or to a Florida or to Canada and then have people, like, not only know you there, but be fans of you there. And you're like, oh, crazy. Like, I'm not a big, you know, national TV star, but there's still plenty of people that know who you are and are fans of yours. And it's kind of surreal.
Yeah. You know, I would credit that to, you know, both your hard work as well as the reach of PWG. And, you know, anybody that works for the company is, you know, they'll admit it. You know, that's on your resume. That's, you know, that's pretty much you get booked wherever.
Yeah, it did help quite a bit. I'm not taking anything away from that. I know that's what helped me get my name out there a lot. And I mean, and that's like, who is it? One of the new guys getting brought to Boyd just said, oh, I'm getting booked for the Disneyland of pro wrestling. And because everyone wants to work there just because it's just such a phenomenal atmosphere that's like unparalleled to anything else.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Pro Wrestling Revolution, Gabe Ramirez up here. You're doing the La Migra thing. That's, you know, that gimmick when it's done properly. And from what I've seen, you know, El Patron, Oliver John, the man, yourself, and Derek Sanders have done it properly. Have you ever felt for your life when putting on that Border Patrol outfit?
You know what? Only the... I mean, you get the crowd always riled up and whatnot, but there was one show, I think, last year in Watsonville. I feel like a screwed up deal on Blue Demon Jr. or something.
Mm-hmm.
What, like,
no problem.
Like, it was the first time that there'd ever been, like, kind of a riot kind of starting where it seemed like a form where everything was getting thrown into the ring. The crowd was losing it. It was kind of fun, such like funny at first. Like, oh, it's all kind of exciting. And then kind of realized, like, maybe we need to get out of here because it was getting a little out of hand. So it was... But it was still like a cool thing, you know. It's awesome to see that in this day and age, people still get that crazy worked up. And you know, I'm going to Mexico, yeah, this weekend for and doing doing the Migra down there. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's gonna be for Toto Santos Group.
Yep.
And their last couple shows have like appeared online under a month later, so those will be up on YouTube. Just search the Cubs fan. And you'll be able to get the videos there, or they'll be all over the Facebook and that stuff. Because you know, there's Santos doing some interesting things down there. I don't know if you've heard, but they're kind of pushing around, you know, the idea of doing masked matches with Wagner, Park, and Santo, And if you play your cards right, you want to be on any of those shows because those shows are going to make some money.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know. Another doing big things down there, and Gabe, you know, they're putting over their stuff for quite a bit. So I was actually supposed to go there in March, and I actually had to turn it down because it was 2 weeks out from my first bodybuilding show this year that I was doing, and though I really wanted to go. I just prepped for the show for many, many months, and I didn't want to just throw that all down the drain. The last 2 weeks is pretty crucial for anybody who's done a bodybuilding show, and I was like, I can't go. And he wanted me there for like 5 days. I'm like, Gabe, I can't go there and, you know, eat burritos for 5 days. It's not gonna work. So passed up on it and gave them Sean Ricker, you know, my former partner, mm-hmm. to fulfill the spot. And then I was supposed to go the following month, but since Sean was already there, he just like rebooked him again. So I kind of thought I lost out on the opportunity, but you know, now it's finally came back around.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah, Sean's a pretty good talent too. Yeah, he fits in there. With Oliver John is the man as far as the leader is concerned, and that guy, a very underrated promo, and I don't know why he's not anywhere else. Maybe he's too old. I don't know.
He's always been in my top three list. I mean, always, and he actually was up there as far as somebody I always wanted to work. And I thought, you know, he doesn't work as much anymore, and he's always with Gabe, and I'm part of his faction, so we probably never get to square off. But last Pro Wrestling Bushido show, I was booked to face Jeff Cobb, who I believe I ill and had to cancel. And so last minute, Bobby replaced him with Old School, so I got to work him at the end of June there, and it was a phenomenal match and one that I thought would never happen. So it was awesome to get to work with Ollie. He's amazing.
Well, you mentioned Bobby Hart.
Yep.
The man's a nut, and I the first time I've seen him live was at Vendetta Pro this past June, and that dude was really good. Good look, just really, you know, just projects, you know, this is what I'm doing, and you can believe me. What are your feelings on Bobby? First off, as a performer, and then as a promoter.
Performer, I think he is very underrated. I think he is due some much needed respect, as well as some good matches tying that in with the promoter. He's probably my favorite, like, NorCal promoter. It's really only that NorCal Fed I really work anymore. Revolution I kind of count, but they're kind of their own thing, and they kind of tour around, so it's a little different. But outside that, all the, like, the normal realm, that's really the only NorCal promotion I work anymore. But Bobby's phenomenal promoter, super nice guy, super cool guy, and he's down just to have – he just wants to have awesome shows. He just wants to have, you know, new matches, cool matches. And so he books all these other guys, you know, out of state or big-name guys or whatever that he wants to see work with certain guys locally or whatever, just so he could have different matches and great matches. And it's just to him, like, he doesn't even – he's not, like, sweat. I mean, obviously he doesn't want to lose his ass, but it's not like so much, oh, I want to make a bunch of money. He just wants to have an awesome product. And obviously he wants to try to, you know – do like a PWG thing of Northern California, but it's awesome. It's very rarely do you see promoters shelling out money to not only bring people in, but shelling out money to bring people in and not have them work them, you know, hence some other promotion you just mentioned. But yeah, so it's awesome. He does that. And I really feel like, you know, he deserves to have kind of a higher up match with the bigger namesake guys because he helps out everybody else. I mean, I know that helps get people, you know, recognized by the people. I know that's what helped Scott Thatcher book down on that Wrestling Retribution project, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of years back was when he worked Daniels and whatnot. But yeah, no, he's a super cool guy, you know, one of the guys that brings people in, brings tons of people from SoCal. So you just get to see a mix of matches that you don't normally get to see anywhere else.
He's not afraid to bring in the bigger names. That's taking a gamble. You know, considering the market and whatnot, but you know, he's and the thing is, he's not booking himself against them. That's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's phenomenal because not only is it rare enough, but the cases that it does happen, it's usually, yeah, you know, it's usually the guy that's booking the show is like, oh, I'm getting to work this guy then to, you know, put himself over. But yeah, Bobby doesn't do that, man. So it's really cool. That's why I think I think he's underrated, underutilized, and I would like to see him get, you know, a cool match, since he's always booking so many awesome matches for everybody else.
Yeah, that Vendetta Pro show that I went to, it's been the first show in a while, you know, doing the Married with Kids thing, and, you know, it's, and also working weekends, it's really tough to get to shows, but, you know, now I should be able to play outside more, but getting to see Billy Blade again and Gangrel was fun stuff. Do you have any stories of hanging out with Billy Blade at all?
Hanging out with Billy Blade? I know the first thing that just popped in my head was actually when I was in living in Atlanta going to Deep South. I believe Billy Blade and Mike Rain were doing kind of like a little tour like around the South or whatever. But I don't know, Billy's a weird guy. He's cool, kind of like him, but he's a weird guy. And I remember he called me. And I guess he was trying to rib me, but it was more just really confusing. And he called me and he said, oh, is this Brian Cage? And I'm like, yeah, what's up, Billy? And he goes, oh, Brian Cage? He's all, you're not related to Christian Cage, are you? And I was like, no. I was like, are you drunk? No. Okay. And I remember the whole conversation, but it basically went on for a while like that of him, and I wasn't really sure what you were going to get at. And then he kind of laughed off, like, oh, no, hey, man, me and Mike are just traveling around, and we're just seeing what you're doing and how things are going. And I was like, Billy, you're a weirdo, man. But he's an interesting character, but I do like him.
Yeah, I enjoy what they do. They have good, you know, good product, and I enjoyed myself. And that was my son's first pro wrestling show, my 13-year-old boy. I finally broke down and took him to a show. I'm not going to show him anything that's, you know, on TV just because, you know, I'm a good parent. But actually, I may show him the Daniel Bryan Cesaro match from last night, but he does enjoy the technical stuff. So you talk bodybuilding. How long have you been, you know, I know recently you've been competing, but how long have you been, you know, seriously working on your body?
Well, you know, I graduated at, you know, 155 pounds, and, you know, like most wrestlers, so I wanted to do my whole life as be a wrestler. I realized, hey, you know, wrestling around with my buddies who were like 120, I felt like the big guy, but I realized I wasn't as tall. So, you know, if I want to make this thing a reality, I need to change that number real quick. So, I mean, right then and there, I started working out that summer after I graduated high school. Monday, Thursday, every day, I'd jog to the weight room and hit the weights at my high school. And, I mean, just progressed from there. It just became something that, you know, I knew absolutely nothing about, to just fully loved and enjoyed and totally researched and, you know, got certified as a trainer, was going to school for sports medicine. And, I mean, I just learned a lot from it and loved it. And so I started becoming a fan of bodybuilding, you know, from that, but it was all just for wrestling. And I always toyed with the idea or kind of like desire, like, oh, it'd be cool to do a show. And every time I thought about it, I was always like, nah, and I never did it. And what was it, 2011, I separated my shoulder real bad, and it just wouldn't heal. And I was out of the gym for like almost 8 months. It was like the worst shape I've ever been in since, you know, I debuted in wrestling. And as soon as it finally healed up to get back in the gym, I just rededicated myself at the end there of 2011 and said, you know what, enough saying that I'm going to do it. I'm actually going to do a show just to kind of, you know, cross it off the bucket list, so to speak. And mm-hmm. So that was my first show last April 2012, and I absolutely loved it. I was like, dude, I'm going to keep doing this. So from that point on, you know, I kept training for it. I did a couple more shows this year, and I'm going to do the Cal next May. That's probably the biggest show in California. We'll see how that goes. But people always go, oh, when's your next show? But they don't realize, like, for bodybuilding, it's not, you can't do it all the time. And it takes months of preparation as far as, like, you want to, you know, you want to grow as much as you can. And you got 7 months cutting it back down to get, you know, ridiculous conditioning and low body fat percentage. So it's really hard on your body and taxing as well. So you can't do one, like, every other month. It's just no way. But yeah, so for, like, the last, you know, year and a half, I've been really goal-oriented with the bodybuilding.
That's cool. I wish I could go into a bodybuilding contest, but I don't. It would be a different type. the only muscle I have is between my ears. But now, let's shift to PWG, because I know there's a lot of fans out there that follow PWG. It's been, I'm not even the darling. I mean, it's the West Coast, the West Coast indie, and it's been forever. And, you know, I mean, they're not, I don't even consider them an indie because they're up there. They're kind of different.
Yeah, it's kind of a league of their own. I mean, like I said, when I did, well, that Evolve tour, I mean, you know, I have people over there that aren't in PWG that haven't worked there that are asking, like, hey, man, can you help get me in PWG? I mean, everybody just wants to, you know, get over there just because that's like the it place, so.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't work. Dragon's not like that unless, you know, you knock his socks off. You make him book you. So,
you know,
and
I did put over Anthony Nese when Davey Richards had to cancel. That's who was originally scheduled to face. And he's like, oh, I don't know who to bring in. I'm like, bring in Nese. Because I just had worked with him a few times over there in Florida. And just by luck, hey, that worked out for him. But, yeah, I know it's harder than pulling teeth to get people on that card.
No, it's a fine line where, you know, Dragon has to juggle, you know, people that are being flown in as well as, you know, the locals, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you got your Bucks, your Rockness. Can't forget the man, Willie Mack. I know you have a good Willie Mack story. You have to have one for me.
I have to have a good Willie Mack story. Here's the first one that popped in my head. Willie's a character, but I actually wasn't here for this Willie Mack story, but I just heard about it from Adam Thorso, actually, that it was after a Vegas show, I believe, over there for FSW. They were, I don't know if it was in the hotel or backstage or whatever, but Willie was making a poor man's lemonade by putting, I believe, the sugar and squeezing the lemon that he had into his water, trying to make lemonade. I thought that was hysterical. Willie.
Oh, Willie's the only one that could get away with that.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So has anything international, I mean, other than the Mexican stuff, has anything international popped up for you, you know, that's coming up? Maybe going back up to Calgary or
something else? Yeah, happened, and then, you know, they like had that flood or whatever, and I've been in touch with them, and they said that they're trying to book something towards the end of September. So we'll see what happens with that. I am booked on the other side of Canada over in Toronto in November for a big heavyweight tournament. Oh, my gosh, the Fed totally eludes my name, or the name eludes me now, but I know it's – I know the promoter's a good friend of Steen's.
C4?
What's that?
Is it C4?
No. I just said it's a good friend of Steen's, Kevin
right.
Steen's, the promoter. But
yeah.
I can't remember what the promotion's called. I know it's based in, I think, Toronto. I got the Mexico stuff coming up, as well as going over there with Elgin to have a little tour over in UK in the beginning of October. So really looking forward to that.
That should be fun. Now, as far as the UK stuff, are you going for, you know, just certain companies? Or are you just going to barnstorm and, you know, hop in the car and drive around? And
as of right now, what we've got is, I don't know, Preston City Wrestling, the initial one that's bringing us in for the first Friday show. And then we have a show on Saturday and Sunday following the whole week in loop. So it should be good times.
Cool. Yeah, the UK scene is still going. I'm not saying it's on fire, but it's still going, which, you know, is about as good as you can ask for something in Europe. You know, it's not Germany, it's not WXW, but it's still alive. And it's good to see that you guys have gotten booked over that way. You brought up Elgin. The man's a beast. And have you ever seen anybody as physically imposing as Elgin?
Physically imposing? Maybe, but physically strong? I don't know about that. That guy
mm-hmm.
is a powerhouse. I mean, even the last POG show when I watched it too, Max actually came out and looked actually bigger than Elgin, but Elgin is just, he's just a monster, man, as far as the strength goes. I remember when I worked on Bowl last year, we were talking about, just doing powerlifts or whatever. And I mean, the way he'd pick me up for certain moves, I go up light as it is, but I mean, I just couldn't believe how strong the guy was. It was incredible.
Well, he's a beast. I call him Rhino 2.0.
Rhino 2.0.
I mean, he's built just like Rhino was, you know, in the ECW days, you know, before he put a Y in his name.
Maybe like a Rhino and Dr. Death hybrid there.
Yep, exactly. 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 That's a very good comparison. I didn't think I would be able to put that together, but good job on that one. Excuse me. So,
and he's phenomenal, too. He's phenomenal in the ring.
Yeah, he can go. And, yeah, and the sky's the limit for him, too. And I have the feeling he'll be getting the ROH because he seems to be the logical person to carry that company as long as, you know, they're going to go. But that's a whole different discussion. And we won't talk business. Just hopefully guys are working and getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, that's the worst thing when you work and you don't get paid. And that, you know, I'm pretty sure you heard about what happened this past weekend in San Diego. I'm not mentioning any names or anything, but guys, if you're going to run a show, at least pay the fucking boys. And hopefully the ring rental got paid for. You know, it's not cool.
Yeah, I don't know if people book the shows and hope for the gate to pay for everything, you know. It's not Field of Dreams style. You can't just build it and hope it's all going to come in. I mean, you should have it planned out. And if you can't afford to bring in, you know, top guys or bigger guys or whatever, okay, well then either A, don't run the show, or B, don't use those guys until you can. You know what I mean? Don't hope for the best and screw everybody over. You know your budget beforehand and have it already predetermined and paid for, you know, before you book a show, until you freaking write checks your ass can't cash.
There you go. So you mentioned FCW in Las Vegas. A very old friend of mine, Michael Modest, is the trainer in their school. At least I'm pretty sure he still is. And Mike's always been, you know, a favorite of mine. Actually, he's been my guy that I've always, you know, enjoyed.
Yeah,
he's been my favorite.
The DVDs of those matches of his.
Oh, yeah.
When I was
He's just the man. Tell me about going out to working for the Future Stars company out in Vegas.
Man, it's a cool deal. I really like their setup. I mean, they have awesome, like, little, like, stage and everything, and they run the casino shows are awesome. Even their school's cool. Their school's got all, like, the old WCW, what the hell was it called there? The old WCW, like, restaurant they have there for a while. They have, like, all, like, the memorabilia from there, so it's all over the school, so it looks pretty cool. But they run some sweet shows. Their setup looks, you know, very professional. It's definitely sets it apart from everywhere else. I don't get to go out there very often, but I am I'm heading out there after the anniversary show for Gorilla, so I'm looking forward to that and their Survival of the Fittest tournament.
Yeah, the Future Stars could probably be, you know, a destination type of company like PWG. You know, you're going to go for the weekend, you know, bring your girlfriend and whatever. You know, that could be as a type of getaway. You know, like back in the day when guys would stop in Hawaii on the way to Japan, you know, just because it's on the way, you know, you know, that's kind of if they can get that type of a thing going there, you know, get guys on the way to LA and whatnot, that'd be a pretty cool destination. And it's also a nice carrot to dangle in front of a worker.
No, for sure. You know, whether it's on the way there or the way back, I know he tries to piggyback some guys sometimes. I know, I believe he's trying to do it this show as well. I'm not sure who he's trying to get, but yeah, no, it's definitely grown leaps. I mean, I remember from the first show I went there. Oh, geez, when was my first show there? Well, maybe it was back in 2011, and I thought it was cool then. But I mean, even in the every time I go back, it seems like it's been growing. So, you know, Joe's over there doing what he can, and he's making the most of it. And it's really been an improved product, and the TV production's a little better, and because the whole setup and everything they have going on is pretty cool and unique. So it's a fun place and worthy to work. And hey, yeah, if you want to go party in Vegas, there you go. You're in Vegas and you get to work.
Exactly. Work on your tan and go out and gamble.
Yeah.
So you're going down to Mexico this weekend, and it looks like one of the main matches is going to be a six-man.
It's an eight-man.
Yeah, that's right. It's Atomico's, the big one. So it's going to be you, Ali, that Hetty Curry, and I think Zumbi, the Brazilian dude,
yep.
against all the good guys. So
yeah, basically, all of us versus the four John Cena's. So
the four Juan Cena's?
yeah, exactly.
So come Monday or Tuesday, are we going to look on your Facebook page and you're going to be holding a mask in your hand?
You know, that would be the plan.
Blue Demon, maybe?
That would be the case. That might have get me some extra followers. I don't know, but we'll see what happens.
Well, you never know.
I'm looking forward for the opportunity, so.
Yeah, that's – so you're going to be doing the Mexico thing, and then you're coming back. That should be pretty close to the anniversary show for Gorilla.
Yep.
That'll
be the following
week. Looks like you're booked. I mean, you're booked solid.
Yeah, I'm working pretty much every weekend, so for the most part, and usually more than once. So it's been going. I mean, that's how it's been pretty steadily too this whole year. So I can't complain at all.
Good. Well, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to do. They want to get booked and they want to work. They want to get paid. Emphasize on the word paid. But now let's go back to the PCW. Back in the day. I mean, way back.
Back in the day.
MPT and the boys, Rick Luxury, all those cats. Look at the talent that's come out of there. Mitch Valentine. Had to mention Mitch. Like I said, Luxury, MPT, who I'm not quite sure what happened to that kid. Do you know what happened to Zach?
Oh, he's still there. He's still, doing PCW. That's just, he's just trying to be like the Vince McMahon or something of the West Coast. I know he's a phenomenal talent, and he could have gone a lot farther, but, I mean, he's just doing his own thing, just running his own school and Fed. That's pretty much, I guess, all that he wants to do.
No time. I can understand that. Another guy that's been around those parts and these parts and all over, one of my favorite to watch, Rick Luxury. You've been in the ring with Rick before.
Multiple times, oh yeah.
Well, what do you think of him as a performer? And if I could only give him a foot, if I could only give him half a foot, that guy would be working on a Monday night.
Well, I think Rick's great, man. I mean, he's been one of my favorites since I first started. I remember back in 05, 06, whatever, when I got to work him in Brawl and FPW with one of my first matches. I was stoked, and they were some of my favorite matches. It was one of the matches I wanted before I headed over to Florida when I got signed. It was like one of my last matches I had, and one of the ones I wanted to have. So he's a great talent, super charismatic, and if people don't realize either, he can do so much, especially insane leg drop off the top of a cage or ladder or whatever, and the dude's legally blind. So, I mean, that put a whole nother another point on top of his, his skill, how good a worker he is.
Yeah, that's the scary thing, is that you know that, then you're like, he goes out and he tears it up. I miss him and MPT as a team. They were just phenomenal, and I'm not sure what happened, but that was good stuff. You mentioned Supreme Pro. They're still doing their thing up there. How many years is it now?
So.
13, 14, something like that?
Yeah, it's been quite a while, yeah.
Jeez. And they just keep trucking, with the Adam Thornstow, Chupi. I mean, everybody knows the names. They're all, pretty much the same cast of characters. Do you have any matches that stand out for you up in Supreme Pro?
It's one of my favorite matches. I haven't actually even got, and I never got to see, was actually my last match there before I left to Florida as well, which was my second match at the time. I get to Adam Thornstow, another one of my top three favorite guys to be in the ring with him as well as watch. Really enjoyed that match. After coming back, there was a good four-way tag match there, as well as I had a good match with with CJ as well. Which I was honored too, because after the match, he already gave me a shirt, and backstage told me that was, you know, one of his favorite matches he's had in a long time. So it's always good to hear that from your opponent, you know, when they're really soaked on a match. Or I always get really excited to go out there as well when you know your opponent's excited to have a match with you. So it's kind of just breathes in another level of, like, all right, let's go out there and tear it up.
Yeah, that's I guess the ultimate honor, you know, to, you know, get a shirt from someone, or, you know, a picture right after the match or whatnot.
Yeah, for sure.
And he, you know, and that, you know, that embrace backstage, you know, never mind what's in front, but backstage, that's, you know, that's, I mean, you guys do it for money, but, you know, you also do it for your own personal, you know, gain and whatnot. Now, we're not even going to mention any of the WWE crap, because that's all, you know, that's shit done, buried, spit on, and thrown. Plus, you know, they don't need your talent. There are other places that could use your talent. Your gut check match with Mr. Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, you know, I kind of stole the show there. I thought I outperformed. I thought I had a rap. I mean, everyone backstage, that was cool too. I mean, everyone from Eric Bischoff to Sting to Kurt Angle to Jeff Hardy, everybody was coming over to me and putting me over and putting the match over. So that was awesome, and something you don't see too, you know, in the Fed. But you know, I felt really good. Felt really confident about it. You know, I talked to Al Snow about it. It seemed well and good. And then, you know, a little Twitter poll thing we put up there. I was leading on that, and I was surprised how over I was with the crowd, like, already, without even really doing much. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't a fully guaranteed thing for me, but I felt, you know, I felt pretty dang confident. So when I got the cut, I was like, "What? Are you serious?" And from my understanding, it seemed as if, you know, Jay Bradley was the one getting the win no matter what. So I was like, "Oh, all right, well, you know, I guess so be it." But, you know, it was unfortunate, but, I mean, it was still an awesome opportunity. Had a blast, and, I mean, I know I've been in constant talk with him pretty much every month, but obviously nothing's happened yet.
Yeah, the match was fine. The match was fine, but I don't know. Mr. Bradley has worn a hood before and, you know, did a little biker thing, so it just really didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
When I saw that he was booked against you, I was like, wait, this isn't right. This is not going to work, because he's already got an in with the company. So it just didn't, you know. But, you know, you were on national TV. Has that helped you get booked with any newer companies that you've never worked for?
I believe so. And I know it just kind of adds to my resume as well. Cause you were like, oh, yeah, you were on that too. So I know, I think that kind of helped get me on there on the Dragon Gate shows there when we did the California tour. I know, mm-hmm. you know, they were already hiring me, wanting me to get out there. So, and from doing that, you know, helped get me on the Evolve tour there in Florida. So, I mean, it just, like I said, too, helped build some more namesake already that I was building from PWG and everything else. So, you know, and it doubled my Twitter followers at the time. So that's always a plus too.
There you go. That's the way to be followed. Couldn't tell you. I'm barely on Twitter. I don't even have a smartphone, you know. I'm extremely difficult. But, you know, that's my wife's problem, not mine. You mentioned... Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I was just saying, I'm always indifferent about the whole social media stuff, but eventually I always cave in and realize it does help out with getting your name out there and wrestling and whatnot. I mean, I was telling me forever to make a Facebook. I never wanted to. Now it's, you know, lo and behold, how freaking happy bookings come. But, you know,
well,
whatever.
You know, it's you, me on one side, and then there's AJ Kirsch, who's, you know, our role model as far as social media and being a professional wrestler
right?
is concerned. Shit. I can't believe the stuff that guy's done. It's just, you know, it shows you that that DIY your attitude, you know, and it's, he's going to get somewhere. Plus, he's a good kid, you know, You really don't hear too many things bad said about AJ.
Me and AJ were both training at the same time. I remember we were both living in Chico and both coming up together at PCW. So me and AJ go way back. I can't tell you how many freaking hour-long matches we've had over at the work farm there.
The work farm. I love that. It's a great name for a school. I love it. Only studs come out of the work farm, right?
Yeah.
Now, we'll shift back to Evolve. You mentioned your tour in Florida, and you got in the ring with John Davis. Does that dude hit hard or what?
It was a hard hitting match. It wasn't like the worst, but it was definitely a fun match. I don't know. We both just kind of went out there and laid it into each other and did some good big moves to each other, and it was a really fun match. And the Raptor Sui, same thing. He's like, and I really loved that match. So. I know it was like one that everybody kept talking about, you know, from the two big guys, but I was kind of unsure. I didn't know how it would turn out, but it was a real fun match.
Yeah, it was. That was the highlight of the show for me. I like John Davis. You know, he's like he's not afraid to get in there, and it's not ballet. And I grew up here in San Francisco where. You know, the style, more of a high spot type of territory, you know, until, you know, later on. But, you know, I like to, you know, and I enjoy, you know, a physical match, not the All Japan head dropping. That's not good. You know, that's how people die, like, you know, eventually. But, you know, just snug, nice, believable, enjoyable stuff. Now, you've been in the ring with, you know, pretty much everybody on the regular PWG roster, have any of your matches, you know, really stood out? And then I will tell you which ones have for me.
Well, without a doubt, it goes into like my top three matches too. My debut match there at 7 with Brandon Bonham is probably my favorite that I've had there so far. Still, just because it was, you know, we're good buddies, and it's a match that I've wanted, and we're trying to get for quite a few years. And as well as trying to get on Gorilla. So the fact that they both happened, you know, my first Gorilla show and against Brandon Bonham right then and there was great. And, you know, it was right when, you know, Brian Danielson was coming back over there. And it was just a big show. And to come out to that crowd and have them chant, you know, who the fuck are you to me? And then, you know, halfway through the match start chanting, you know, let's go Cage, let's go Bonham. And then getting the standing ovation and the please come back chant afterwards was pretty cool to take the crowd from one side all the way to the other. So. That was awesome. Outside of that, I liked my match a lot against Elgin at Bola last year, and let's see. Other than that, I mean, I haven't disliked any of my matches there, but I mean, if I just want one that maybe stands out a little bit more, maybe my match with Eddie Edwards as well at the last anniversary show. So it's two connections, like when I was kind of at the peak of my openness, if you will, with the promo afterwards and interfering in the main event, or in the title match, rather.
Yeah, the debut match with Bonham was fun. That's probably my favorite of your PWG matches because I'm pretty sure you've got more in your bag of tricks. You're not done. By any means.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of get the feeling with the PWG crowd down there in Reseda that they're a lot like the ECW Arena crowd was with ECW.
That's why I try to relate to people that don't, you know, they don't know PWG or can't comprehend it. That you know ECW. I'm like, it's like ECW, but now, you know.
Yeah, I've yet to get down and sit in that hot, steaming building. It's hopefully.
I mean, as great as the DVDs are, I mean, you still have the quality of wrestling, you still, you know, hear the crowd, but it does absolutely no justice. I mean, the crowd there, I mean, you can hate wrestling to be there and fall in love with it. I mean, it's real wrestling. It's not sports entertainment crap. It's fucking real, awesome, amazing wrestling. I remember my buddies that lived over there in Florida, you know, he just watches, you know, wrestling on TV. And he came to the Evolve shows, And, you know, I put over PWG to him before, but I was like, this will be closer to PWG. He's like, trust me, you have no idea, you know. If you like the wrestling you watch on TV, just wait till you see this. And then, you know, he became a huge mark for it instantly. He's like, oh, my gosh, you're right. This is way better than the shit on TV. I'm like, I told you. This is legit for wrestling, you know, for nowadays.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I just wanted to chime in real quick. Brian Cage, I'm a fan of yours. Me and a buddy of mine, we started going to PWG just middle of last year. You know, we've always heard about it, never got a chance to go up there. We're kind of on the Inland Empire side of California, so we're about an hour and a half away. But, you know, I said, let's do it. And we've taken a couple of ex-PW matches, which, of course, is just crazy out there matches.
Yeah.
But when we went to PWG, I mean, we were just blown away by the wrestling that you guys do. And the fan interaction, I think, is the greatest of all. You know, fans will shout something out. You guys shout it out in the middle of the matches right back at them. And it's just a whole great vibe in there. I love going. I was trying to get tickets for the anniversary show in a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, I was working. By the time I got out, you guys were already sold out. But I'm probably definitely going to buy that DVD because you guys just your matches are phenomenal, top to bottom.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a great place. And, like, yeah, what other any place can say that, you know, that, oh, I was going to get tickets, but they sell out, like, in the first minute they go on sale. I mean, it's out of control. And, I mean, it's the only one. I mean, I know there's a guy that's, like, driving from Florida for the show. I know there's fans and friends of mine from, you know, up deep north, close to Oregon or California that drive down just to go to PWG. So, I mean, it's awesome. So, I appreciate that, man. Glad you came out. And it's definitely, as you said, too, the fan interaction, I mean, the crowd itself, the wrestling, I mean, it's definitely kind of a league of its own and a cool, special environment. It's definitely different than any other Fed you go to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Are we good?
Oh, we're good.
All right, cool. Even my producer's a fan. Tremendous. Tremendous. I love it.
Yeah,
love
you know, Q down there, not to mark out, but they have I'm actually not a fan of it. I just never really seen the show, but I know they have plenty of cast members from True Blood down there, and I believe Newfound Glory and Paramore have both been in the crowd more than once, so it's pretty cool, too, then to see, you know, other celebrities, so to speak, you know, in the crowd at a gorilla show watching us, so.
Awesome. Well, looks like I am getting a text from the wife. She's calling me. We're having an issue. So, Mr. Cage, let's wrap up the interview here. How can people go about contacting you and setting up bookings and baby birthday parties and christenings and bar mitzvahs?
You know, contact me on my Facebook, which is, you know, Facebook/Brian Cage, simply put, or my Twitter is MrGMSI_B Cage.
Awesome.
Those usually work out pretty well, so.
Well, it's good to hear from you, brother. You know, it's been a while.
Yeah, likewise. I saw that. I was like, oh. The last time I talked to you was right back when I got from Florida, when I was actually down in L.A. with Bonham back, 2010 or something like that.
Yeah, it's been, well, I've been out the game, man, but I'm back. I'm back and better than ever. But once again, it's good to hear from you, man, and take it easy on that body, and good luck with the bodybuilding and you know, the independent wrestling, and hopefully, you know, you don't get killed this weekend.
Yeah, I'm on my chiropractor goes, he just went and started telling me all these different horror stories about his buddies going to Mexico and whatnot. I'm like, oh, thanks for telling me all that before I go, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's called Tijuana Heat. And
yeah, we're not going to be in Tijuana, so we're like,
thank goodness.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Cage, like I said, once again, thanks for calling in and have a safe trip and good luck to you and what you have coming up.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, brother. It's good to talk to you again.
All right, man. Have a good.
All right. That was independent star, Mr. Get My Shit In, Brian Cage. Yeah, that was the surprise guest. I figured I wouldn't advertise Brian. We'll just let him pop up. you know, since he's the man as far as independent wrestling and I guess bodybuilding. The man's got a sick looking physique, and I don't know. I'm looking at his physique, then I'm looking at mine, and I don't know. I have a long way to go to be competitive with Mr. Cage. But before we go, I'd like to send a shout out to Mr. Kurt Brown out there in Walnut, California. Kurt has been in the wrestling business for 30 years, and he's celebrating his 30-year anniversary in the business. He broke in under Crazy Luke Graham, or was it Dr. Jerry Graham? I don't remember. Too many hits to the head. But, 30 years in the business for Kurt, you know, in the ring, promoting, doing whatever, radio shows now. He's back working, and I'm not going to give his shoot age, but Vandal Drummond is still running wild in Millennium Pro Wrestling. I'm proud of you, Kurt. You defeated that mean, evil bastard called Cancer. I love you, bro, and we'll have to have you on very soon with Mr. Dan Farron to discuss many different strange subjects. Maybe we can even get Alfredo Esparza on the show, too. We can do a little slam and stand meets alternative wrestling radio kind of breakdown there. But, that should do it from here. Next week, we'll be doing a special show. I am working next week, next Tuesday, so looks like it's going to be an 8 o'clock show, 8 to 9. Not quite sure about a guest. We may just do mailbag or something. But if you do have a question or comment, you can email me at awrmailbag@gmail.com, and that's just for mailbag questions, or you can hit us up on the Facebook, facebook.com/alternative wrestling radio. I know I should have did AWR, but, you know, me being difficult, you know, better type all that out. But, yeah, so hit us up on the Facebook, you know, like us, and keep your eyes out for upcoming guests. And I'm always looking for feedback, good, bad, whatever. Once again, I'm sorry for being late. I'm going to get that other phone thing going. That should do it from here. And I guess I will talk to you kids next week.
Alrighty, guys. That, of course, was Kid Zombie on Wrestling Alternative Wrestling Radio. And as you know, usually he's on from 7 to 8:30. But as you heard, next Tuesday, he will be on a half hour later and only for an hour from 8 to 9. So please join us there, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy wrestling. And see ya. Take care. Be safe.